is Daf Hey. And we were holding on Daf Dalet on the base, right on the Tanei Rebbe Chiya, about a quarter of the way up from the bottom. So what have we done so far? We have analyzed the first words of the Mishnah, what the meaning of an av and a tolda is at great length, exploring the Papa's insight that there's two types of relationships of av and tolda that are reflected in the dinim of Nisidin. In the course of doing that, we managed to actually go through quite a few of the avais. So we went through the Karen and the Shein and the Regel and the Bar and the Eish, and we even got, after that, in our search for the explanation of the words of the Mishnah, so we even got to an understanding of Mav'eh. Turns out there's two possibilities of Mav'eh, Machlokas Rav, and Shmuel, which of course reflected on how it was we were going to read the Mishnah. Lo Harezek Harezek, we tried to figure out various elements of Shor. According to Rav, Shor meant all three aspects of Shor, Karen, Shein, V'Regel. Mav'eh meant Adam. According to Shmuel, we left Karen out. The way Rav was understanding it, we put it at the just Riboy of the Mishnah, because after all it is unique, and that it's not Mu'ad Mitchilatan. So that we had basically the two elements of Shor out of three. We only had Shein Verega. We left Adam out entirely. Adam Shmuel saw as a different category that was put really in the Mishnah later on, the end of our Mishnah. And we also moved on to yesterday to see that there was a completely different way of analyzing the elements of Adam, which led Rav Hoshaya to have 13 different avot of Nezikim, but that included various modes of Adam, because he took into consideration the nature of the relationship that led to the determination of the damage. And the damages that he was talking about yesterday were damages that came about because of the fact that you didn't do your job, and not necessarily direct damages, which was, again, a whole different can of worms. We left that out in our Mishnah. We were talking about direct torts. Really, the truth is that the interrelationships that Rav Hoshaya explores over here are mostly Bava Metzia issues, because Bava Metzia deals with things like contracts and loans and shmira and things. But nonetheless, ultimately, they need to be part of our concern for torts, because there's always going to be a significant amount of damage that comes from those kind of relationships. Now, today we find that Tani Rebbe Chia, there's another way of adding Avot Nezikin, so that we end up with Esrim V'Arba Avot Nezikin. We end up with 24 different modes of doing Hezek. And it turns out that what Rebbe Chia wants to include is not only the nature of the Mazik, and not only the mode of the interrelationship, but the special cases of Mazik, where we have rules that don't apply across the board, and where there are fines that are added to the elements of torts. And because of that, he also separates it into ways that don't even allow for toladot, as we'll see, because they're so unique. The Gemara is going to question later why in the world we would call those avot anyway, what sense they're avot. But he reads as follows, 24 different avot nezikin. And here's his new way of looking at things. He says, look, you have to consider those things which are tashlume kefel, where you pay double the amount of damages. Now, there's actually only one case like that, and that is the ganav. Somebody who steals something, burglarizes, we're talking about. Not robbery. There's no din of kefel for robbery, but there is for burglary. So there's a din of kefel, paying twice. There's also a unique section that's called tashlume arba'ah, b'chamishah, where you end up either through having sold or through having slaughtered that which you stole. You end up paying not only kefal, but four times as much, or five times as much, depending on the nature of the animal that you sold, whether it's a shor or a seh. That's also multiples of the original value. Then we have the ganav. A ganav is going to pay certainly the keren, even if he goes and he admits that he did what he did, and therefore gets off of paying the rest. He's still going to have to pay that keren. The gazlan, which is robbery, as opposed to burglary. Edim Zomimim, which is a unique case where you have witnesses that bear false testimony against someone and are then discovered not even to have been present at the event that they're testifying about. They weren't even the place they claimed to be, and they're identified as Edim Zomimim. They also have to pay the full amount of what they had desired to cause the damage by their testimony, which, generally speaking, we would never, ever have said is a direct damage. It's a very indirect kind of damage. And it also, by the way, leads us to another question, just incidentally. That is that usually, remember that Edim Zomimim are only called Edim Zomimim if they did not achieve their objective, very surprisingly. In other words, if they achieve their objective, then we no longer give them Kasher Zaman. They are, of course, punished for criminal activity. That's a different issue. They were over on an Yitzhar Lotan Ebrei Achayit Sheker. But as far as civil penalties are concerned, the civil penalties are incurred only when they didn't do. The court never followed through with what it is that they said. Which, of course, takes it out of the realm of torts. What's it doing over here? If they didn't do anything, they didn't cause any damages. It doesn't belong here at all. So there's a number of different approaches on this. Tosfos' approach is that, of course, we're talking about over here, Edim Zomimim that did achieve what it is that they set out to do. And since what we're talking about here is, by definition, monetary loss, remember that money you can always give back. And therefore, it's always considered to be the equivalent of the plan. So if we say something was done, it means it was done and over. There's no way they said so-and-so should get flogged. Now you're going to unflog it. But they said so-and-so owes $100, and give the $100 back. So perhaps damage was caused. The courts actually took this. We'll see, it gets a little bit complicated later on when we try to understand better the nature of anim sonim. But in any event, you could see that as being a very clearly different kind of thing. And then we have rape, ha'oneh. So besides any other penalties that would be involved, we know there's all of the regular assault and battery issues that come up in rape, there's also a fine for rape. So we have the 50 shekel fine. The same thing is true for a mifateh, for seduction of a child who is beneath the age of 12 and a half. We also have, besides the normal assault, that's called assault and battery also, if the child is under the age of 12. But there's also a din of chamishim shekel. Motzi shemra. Motzi shemra is also a unique quality in which somebody accuses his new wife of having slept with someone during the period where they were betrothed, but before they came to the chuppah. Now, for the first time, he is sleeping with his wife and discovers she's not a virgin, and he claims that he knows what happened and that she had so on and so forth. So for such a thing, there's a massive fine, which is fascinatingly double the fine for rape. The Gemara learns out, as we had elsewhere in Erechin, that saying things are worse than doing things, which is a fantastic insight. But in any event, so we have motzi shemra. And then we have categories of damage that are invisible. It's very interesting. So you go ahead and you are mitameh, the truma of your friend, let's say. And now he's not going to be able to eat it. Now he wants to sue you for the damages. So what damages? Looks the same to me. Do you have a Geiger counter that's showing me that there's something wrong with these? So you mean it's just basically your relationship to this thing that has changed? You're going to call that damage? I mean, how is that damage? But that is included in damage, and we'll see again later why. Midamea, you mix truma and chulin. The moment that you mix truma and chulin, the value drops precipitously. Why? Because the market now is very limited. You can only sell the tkonim. Who else is going to buy it? They can't eat it. Well, obviously, things that have a market limited to tkonim are going to be worth an awful lot less than things that are on the general market. And minaseh, you take somebody's wine, you pour it out in the church, and then you rebottle it, and you say, here, it's a perfectly good wine, but it's not kosher wine anymore. Well, again, you have a Geiger counter that detects the non-kosher element in it. And so, therefore, all of these things would be, I would have thought, not included in the overall nezek that we had in the previous cases. Then you got to add the 13 previous cases, which brings us up to 24, Ha'esrim V'arba. And how come Rabbi Hoshaya doesn't include those, since he does include other cases, subcategories of Adam? So, my time alo tani hani. Well, that's because Rabbi Hoshaya was talking about b'mamona kamari, b'knasalo kamari. I mean, these cases are cases of fines. He doesn't discuss fines. He's discussing damages and payment for damages. Now, how do you put a fine into a list of avot that are not related to the damage that you did directly? Well, that's not strictly true. I mean, the ganav and the gazlan are pure monetary. I mean, yes, you're right about the kefil, the arba v'chamisha, I understand, but what about the fact that Reb Chiya also listed robbery and burglary? I mean, how come over there you didn't list that? That's mama, litne. Well, says Rabbi Hoshaya, I did. I actually included that because I even included something much broader than that, of which it's a subset, because I listed a Shomer Chinam, didn't I? Now, what happens with the Shomer Chinam? Shomer Chinam claims that something was stolen. Turns out that he actually had pocketed it. Now, that's part of what Shomer Chinam will pay for. Uh-huh. So isn't that Ganav? Isn't that Gazel? If he claims it was robbed, then he pays the way a robber would pay. If he claims it was burglarized, then he pays the way a burglar will pay. He'll pay kefil. So that's already included in the rules of the interaction of the Shomer Chinam. There's absolutely no need to list it separately because anybody who read my list already knows this list. So that part is included. Now, the other things, they're fines. I'm not talking about fines. I'm talking about straight out damages and compensation for damage caused. And therefore, these things are external to the whole list that I made. Hey, that's a good point, actually, Rabbi Chiya. Why did you list it separately? Hotanale, you're including the 13 of Rabbi Hoshaya. Why don't you say that Shomer Chinam and Shoel includes the din of Tuin Ta'anat Ganav and Tuin Ta'anat Gazlan? By the way, Shoel doesn't really make sense here, and this is sort of brought in. Because a shoel who claims, a borrower who claims something was stolen, has to pay for it anyway. So therefore, the real point over here is the Shomer Chinam answers Rabbi Chiya. The reason that I list it separately is because, again, remember that to me the nature of the relationship that's mechayev of the payment is central to defining the av. Now you're telling me there's no difference between the nature of a relationship at the point of a gun and the nature of the relationship that came because of the fact that you put in a claim which allowed you not to return money that somebody had given you of his own free will? I mean, it's a big difference. You're saying, but in the end, you deprived him of his money. That's true. But after all, one was at the point of a gun, and it came, the atabiyot be isura, came into his hands by doing an isser. The other one was about to be out of lehetera. Lehetera. He wanted to give me the money. He asked me to take care of his wallet. White collar crime, blue collar crime. That's true. That's true. So katani, separately, mamona dat liyad be'etera, and separately, mamona dat liyad be'isura. Okay. How about enim zomamim? Enim zomamim is monetary, right? You went ahead and you caused that loss directly by going ahead and paying and testifying that this guy owes money. So, again, why is this money if he didn't cause the actual loss? So here is where it gets a little bit more complicated. If we learn, like Tosfos, that we're talking about a case where you actually had paid the money based on the false testimony, that is a loss. But if you don't learn like that, why is this not called a fine? So here Rashi goes into a very, very fundamental but rather excruciating definition of what constitutes a fine and what constitutes payment for damages. He says, forget about the question of whether the money was taken or not. The question of a fine is that it's always determined by a particular factor of the damage caused. Now, that's not true by Enim Zomamim. So you could talk about a fine, Shloshim Shalevet, Chamishim of Knas. You can talk about a fine that we had of Arba v'Chamisha, Kefa. Those are fines. But something that is reflected in the payment for what you did as a fine, we don't call that a fine. We call that Momon because it's a direct reflection of the money that was the object of your testimony. Anyway, so why don't we list Enim Zomamim? Because, Savalak Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva holds Ein Mishalmim HaPiatzman. According to Rabbi Akiva, if you go into the court and you admit the fact that you attempted to cause damage through Enim Zomamim, you wouldn't have to pay, just like any other fine. So clearly he holds that Enim Zomamim is not a fine. That this, again, leads us into a quandary. If a witness admits that he lied, we completely ignore him. A witness cannot admit that he lied. Because the problem with witnesses is that the state of being a witness, you will recall, makes no sense at all. We cannot trust anybody's memory. And again, research shows that no two eyewitnesses ever see the same thing. I mean, the whole thing is a joke. As the Rambam explained, the nature of testimony is a compromise that the Torah has made in order to be able to have din in this imperfect world, so that it puts these witnesses into a particular state called witnesses. Now, the moment that they leave that state, and now they're coming to discuss as human beings what it was that they had testified, they're no longer believed. Obviously, this is very useful for mafia kind of situations, the Zaloka. I mean, we know how much witness protection programs and things like that are to make sure that we don't end up losing our witnesses because the guy that they're testifying. But there, we don't have that problem because the witness comes in and he says, I lied, I made the whole thing up. I said, thank you very much. Tell the guy he's got the gun at your back. It's not going to do him any good. So that's also a very useful element of the din. But in any event, how would we therefore have a motive biknas by Enim Zomamim? How could they admit it? We don't believe them anyway. What we'd have to be talking about, therefore, is that they walk into another court and they say, we lied in such and such a court who found us guilty of lying. So in other words, the court already decided. And the way that they found us guilty of lying was by other witnesses, not that we said so. So in that case, they're believed for what they said. Problem is, that leads to another quandary. Because once the court says that you have to pay for what you did, it's no longer viewed as a fine, because it's already been determined, and now you basically have a bill to pay, not a fine to pay. So that's a chiyuv in court. So then if you admit it, you're not going to be potter. So now what do we do? So what we'll have to say is, witnesses appeared in court A, said that these witnesses had lied. The court finds that indeed the second witnesses are believed, the first set of witnesses lied and are about to say, and you must pay when there's an earthquake. Or these guys run out of the room and you can't say you have to pay when they're not in front of you. And at that point, they run into another court and they say, look, we were just found guilty of lying in that court. And they didn't say we had to pay yet. They only said we were going to have to pay. Okay, so now it's a fine. Boy, this is a weird case. Wait, we admit it. So, but in any event, as a laboratory case, okay, we have to reduce it to its essentials. As a laboratory case, we now have Enim Zomamim that are admitting a fine. Clearly it's a fine, according to Rabbi Akiva. So if you hold like Rabbi Akiva, that Ein Mishalmim al Piatzman. So now you end up with a reason not to list Enim Zomamim because I don't list fines in my list of torts. Simple as that. Now wait a minute. You're saying you're following Rabbi Akiva, Shita? Yisava like Rabbi Akiva. Remember we just said yesterday that the reason that we don't list two different types of shor, was why? Because it makes no difference. All shores are the same. What's the difference if a shore that's mazik a shore or a shore that's mazik an adam? But by an adam, well, now there we have two completely different worlds, remember? But if you hold a Rabbi Akiva, then you should have listed the two different types of shore as well. Because according to Rabbi Akiva, we have a fascinating halacha. He says that the Tanan, Rabbi Akiva Omer, Aftam Shechaval Ba'adam, Mishalem B'motar Nezek Shalem. You claim that there's no point in listing with the list of damages of a shore that damages a shore or a shore that damages a human. Because it's all the same. Mashenka, when it comes to a human that damages a shore only pays for Nezek, and a human that damages a human pays an additional four variations of damages. The Tsar, Sheves, Ripui, Boshet. But according to Rabbi Akiva, a shore that damages a human has unique halakas that do not apply in the case of a shore that damages a shore. And therefore it should have been listed. Now how can you have halfway measures over here? And what was that? Rabbi Akiva said, Aftam shechavava adam, meshalein b'motar nezek shalein. He says that even though normally we distinguish between the first three times of the hezek and the mu'ah, so that the tam only pays 50% of the damages, that's only in the case of a shore that damages a shore. But a shore that damages an adam is going to have to pay full damages. So then you should have separated. Now you no longer have an excuse for not listing separately the shore that damages the shore and the shore that damages the adam. What are you going to say now? Says the Gemara, well, I'll tell you. Hatavir Rabbi Akiva legezize. Rabbi Akiva had his fist already to sock you in the nose. And then what did he do? He went ahead and broke his fist. Meaning, he messed up the power of his own argument. Because Rabbi Akiva, we also find the same, Gitanya, Rabbi Akiva omer, yachol aftam, shechaval ba'adam, yeshalei min ha'aliyah. You would think, wouldn't you, says Rabbi Akiva, that according to my argument, if you're going to pay nezek shalein, you should pay nezek shalein the same way you pay nezek shalein for an animal. What's the din of nezek shalein for an animal? You pay it out of your bank account. You don't look at the value of the damage-causing entity, the shor, and say, well, but the damage is limited by the maximum value of the shor. There's no such thing, correct? But when it comes to the chatzi nezek, that is no longer chatzi nezek, but nezek shalein, of a shor that damages an adam as a tam, even though you're paying 100%, the 100% is not really 100%, because it's going to be limited by a maximum of the value of the damaging entity. Ha! How do I know that? Says Rabbi Akiva. So Yochal Haftam Shechaval Ba'adam. You might think a Tam, who is Chovah Ba'adam and pays Nezek Shalem, should pay the same way other Mu'adim who pay Nezek Shalem pay. Yishalim Minai Liyah. Tamud Lomar. Therefore comes along the Pasuk to say that Kasher, we say over here, Kamishpat Hazeh, Ya'aselo. Do the same thing, Obein Yigach or Bat Yigach, do the same thing to him. Now who is the him? The him is the actual shor, because that's the whole context of the pasuk. We're talking about the fact that there's criminal activity on the part of this shor, and that shor is punished. Okay, now it says Ya'aseh lo. Now what does that mean? That means that sitting in the defendant's box is the shor. Which means that the shore is going to have to pay. Now, where the heck is that shore going to get money from?
He'll become a good lawyer.
Yeah, the only way he's going to...
Make stakes out of it.
The only way that he's going to be able to pay is by being sold. So that means that the maximum damages are going to have to come out of his hide. So, therefore, he's not really the same as a mu'ad. Now, according to this, I am not going to list the case of shor shenagach shor and shor shenagach adam separately. Now, you'll notice that this has very important implications as to the main definition of the mazik. Because what we're claiming over here is that this busts his fist. And why does it bust his fist? I mean, the bottom line is it's not the same as the shor payment of tam, which would be for shor, that's mazik shor. The fact that it happens to be limited by the value of the shor, I mean, big deal. There's plenty of cases where it will be full value. But the point is that the definition, a more primal definition of the idea of payment, is not the value, but rather the responsibility. The difference between a shor that I, the owner, am responsible for as a mu'ad, and a shor that the shor is responsible for a mu'ad is tremendous. That this is a variant of the din of tam, you see. It's not a din in mu'ad. It's just a variation on tam. It's a variation on the theme. There's a whole type of nezek. I just don't have enough of a voice left to shout. So if you're within striking range, I can get you. But I can't get you from far away. So, what can you do? No, what we really need is that cattle prod. Okay, so do we understand the argument here? What Gemara is saying now is that once you're telling me that the state of Ashar that's Mazik Adam is not fundamentally different. It's really at the same time as it is by the Behema. The only difference is that it's a Tom that pays Nezek Sholem, but it's still a Tom and has the limitations of Tom. It's responsible for its own damage. In that case, I can't possibly list it as a whole different set of Av. Brilliant insight. Okay? Because otherwise, if you don't see it this way, it's a very poor argument to say Tavir Rabbi Akiva, because he's saying, who cares? Okay. So therefore, it's Enum Ashalim Min Aliyah. Ha'ones. Now let's go and continue. Ones, Mefata, Motzi Shemra. Now, the case of rape and the case of seduction and the case of Motzi Shemra, the claim that a woman had slept with someone else. So in all of these cases, it is true. I shouldn't say in all of these cases. In two out of three of these cases, the truth is Motzi Shemra does not belong here, as Tosfos points out. But in the case of rape, there's other payments that need to be made. I mean, rape is assault and battery. Besides being sexual, I mean, that component of it is becoming shim shekel. But there's nothing fundamentally different between rape and any other assault and battery. And therefore, there's lots of monetary components, right? I mean, there's embarrassment that's caused. There may be doctor bills that are caused. There may be loss of work. I mean, a poor girl can't go into work for a week or whatever. So all of those things are certainly momon. Why don't I list rape? I don't understand. Monavsha, what are you talking about? Which component? Damage? Nezek? I said nezek. Pain. I said pain. Itzar tanale. What are you talking about? Embarrassment? I listed embarrassment, remember? That was in the original list. Separate payments for embarrassment. What are you talking about? Pagan? Are you talking about pagan? Which means that if you want to sell this girl to some Japanese that's interested only in her virginity, she's going to be worth less. Fine. That's nezek. That's included in damages. What's the difference of what the damages are? So what are you talking about that's left that we haven't discussed? The knas, the fine. I just said I'm not talking about fines. So what's your argument? Understand, I don't have to list the infinity of cases in which causes the damage. This is absolutely absurd. So what you're saying is that ultimately, the reason that this represents a different class of damage is because the nature of the fine defines sexual attack as being different from normal attack. Okay, that's all very nice, but I'm not dealing with fines, and therefore I'm not going to include this as a separate variety. If you're asking me, well, ignore the fine. That's great. Ignore the fine. So then we should have a list of an infinity of varieties. I damaged your 2002 Volvo. I damaged your 2003 Volvo. I damaged your 2003 Volvo with power steering. I mean, it's absurd. So there's nothing innately different between rape unless you take into consideration the element of the fine, which I'm not dealing with, and therefore it's not a separate class as far as I'm concerned. Okay. Excellent. Now we have mitameh, midameya, minaseh. Now those things cause actual loss, right? The dimamono. So why don't you list those things which are actual damages? Well, very simple. I mean, Mamanavshav, are we talking about Hezek Sheinu Nikar Shmei Hezek? Do you believe that damage which is not detectable in physical terms and is detectable only because you happen to know something which limits its market, you call that damage? So then I said damage. Didn't I say damage? What do you care how the damage is? If you hold that as far as the halakha is concerned, normally I would say Hezek Sheinu Nikar is Lav Shmei Hezek, and it's not considered to be damage, why am I paying? Because of a fine. I just said I don't deal with fines, right? So then it would be a knas. So mamonavshav. Either this is included in standard damages, or the Rabbanan set up a system of fines for damages that are common enough, that are not detectable, which allows people to hurt each other without having to be accountable in court. Come along, the Rabbanan, and say, okay, here's the list. You do this, you're going to pay. You do this, you're going to pay. And by the way, on this type of fine, it's not going to help you to run into court and say I did it, because that's the whole point of the fines. That you are going to look at damages that are non-detectable damages as if they were detectable. That's the nature of the fine. So I said, I don't deal with those things. I only deal with issues that are fundamentally damages that don't require special laws passed by the Rabbanan to tell me that this is also considered to be damage. Again, not that I disagree with you. It's just that that's not what I was coming to discuss. So Rabbi Oshaya does not have to list this in his 13.
How do we know about this? Maybe it saw someone, the Tommy, someone, something.
Yeah. Or he admits it.
Even if he would admit it, it would be high. Yeah.
It's knas, but it's a
special type of knas.
It's variable. It's amount that he bears.
It's actually a type of takana, which is that we will view it as nezek.
But in fact, it's like
right, we're calling it knas in a more general sense.
Because
it's not midiraita. Which Tosfos asks, why don't we just say we're looking at diorita and not rabbanan? I mean, this is a strange way to say it, that be knasim okamari, but that's what we've been discussing all along. So we put it under the general rubric of knas. No damages. There is a damage. We'll see later on that for giving non-kosher food, there is an element of damage. Just that you still have to deduct from the damage the fact that food was saved, because otherwise you would have had to eat other food to achieve the same result of satisfaction. Okay. All right, shall we say, is it clear that Rabbi Chiya holds that Hezek She'enu Nikar is not considered to be Hezek? Because you see, if he did consider it to be Hezek, the Ishmei Hezek, then why would he list separately Mitamei, Midamei HaMinaseich, if he knows that we're also listing the other 13 of Rabbi Hoshaya? How can he list Hezek twice? No, Tani Le Nezek. No, not necessarily. Because Rabbi Chiya holds that what we're interested in is distinguishing types. And remember, it is certainly a distinguishing type of damage. Let it be Hezek She'enu Nikar. So Tani Le Hezek Niminkara, Vatani Hezekah, Delo Minkara. Okay, so now we have three lists. Arba Avot Nezikim, Shlosha Asar Avot Nezikim, Esrim V'Arba Avot Nezikim. Why mention the number? So Tana Minyona, Mishlenu L'Tana Didan. Our Tana in the Mishnah, we understand that it says four, because what he's trying to say is there is a particular way of looking at Avot that would lead you to have a list of only four. And that particular mode of looking at things is important as its own set of Avot. So notice what we have over here are meta sets. You have a set of 13. I have a set of 4. That means you have to define the sets differently. And then within the meta set, you have to look at what the sets are, you see. So that's important for me to define. But, so therefore I need to know there's 4 as opposed to 13. That doesn't mean I disagree with the 13. It just means I want to isolate the set of 4 as being in a separate set of avot. Rav Hoshaya needs to point out that there's also a meta set of 13 as opposed to the 24, which would just be an undefined list of all avot. But for heaven's sakes, if Rabbi Chiya is listing all the avot, then what the heck does he give a number for? Because he's no longer defining a particular meta set that consists of 24. He's just saying, here's a list of all the avot. So I know how to count. I don't need him to count for me. So what's the point of saying 24? You're not adding anything. He says, it's not true. There are cases that Rabbi Chiya has indeed specifically left out, which means that 24, even according to Rabbi Chiya, represents a meta set. Because what we have is a set of 4 out of the total of Nezikin, a set of 13 out of the total of Nezikin, and a set of 24 out of the total of Nezikin. For instance, what things were not included in Rabbi Chiya? Well, Lemute Moser Umefagel. A guy goes ahead and gives information leading to a person's loss of money to the mafia. And so he calls up and he says, hey, Joe, I got some important information. How about you put $1,000 in my account and I let you know where you can pick up $100,000? Okay, so that's called a Moser. And there's also a Mifagel. A Mifagel would be a case of a Kohen who now destroys the value of a korban that I'm going to have to bring by, what would you say? You would say, by saying I'm going to eat it, or makriv it, chutz l'zman, or chutz l'mekomo. That's what you would say. Strangely enough, Rashi says, by calling a chatas a shlomim, which passes the chatas. I have to go bring another korban chatas. Now, why Rashi takes that case instead of the standard pigel case, of course, is grist for the middle of hundreds of solutions. The most interesting, but wrong of which, is that the nature of saying that a chatas is a shlomim brilliantly incorporates pigel along with lo lishma. Because a shlomim can be eaten for 2 days, and a katas can only be eaten for 1 day. So by definition, if you're calling a katas a shlomim, you're also saying, I'm going to eat it chutz l'zmano, and therefore it's also pigel, so that Rashi gives us a 2-in-1.
That is brilliant,
isn't it? The problem is that the Gemara is doche, the din of pigel, on that case. It doesn't really work out la'alok. But in any event, it's a cute answer. It's a lot of different answers. But that's the case that Rashi gives us. Obviously, pigel itself would also be good.
It's making it more monetarily valuable, because more people can eat shlomim.
I'm saying, but once we know that it happened, it's possible.
So it's right.
Yeah. Okay, so says the Gemara, okay, you're telling me he made a meta set, so now what defines the meta set? Why is he not including these? Release me. So he should have said 26. I understand why he didn't include the case of Mephago, because what he was talking about was secular damage, not Kodesh damage. Okay, that's understandable. But Bekotchim Lokamari, but Moser? Why is Moser different? Ah, Moser my time, Alotani? Because Shiny Moser did Dibura. Look, I'm not discussing damages that are achieved by mere words. Oh, you're not. That's interesting. Because I noted a couple that were caused by mere words. And what are you going to do about that? How about Motzi Shemra? Motzi Shemra was caused by spreading lies about this woman. The Diburah. Vikatani. What's that? Maybe we can go back now and include Mefagel and Akilani. But why do I say that Motzi Shemra is considered to be non-Diburah? Because it's Diburah to eat Be Maaseh. Look, if you never slept with this woman, you obviously cannot go around saying that she is not a virgin. It's not going to do you much good, will it? So therefore, there's no Motzi Shemra that isn't coupled to coupling, by definition. So therefore, there's always an element of action that's associated with the Motzi Shemra. The Motzi Shemra seeks to define an act of intercourse.
Well, if you need Edom for Motzi Shemra, can't you have it without
that? No, but that's not, the reason that I'm Chayav is not because of the Edom. The reason that I'm Chayav is because of the claim. Afterwards, the Edom get involved. So that's considered to be a Maisa because it needs to have a Maisa as part of it. So that's considered, I say, that's considered to be the Eat Be Maasa. There's an element of it that is, in fact, a Maasa. Okay, what are you going to say about Edom Zonanim? I mean, that's all talk. Say Edom Zonanim, it's Dibura Dilet Be Maasehu Vikatani. How come it says over there that it's you're including it? It shouldn't be included. That's true. But remember that the whole point of Edom Zonanim is that the Torah calls it Be Maasa, treats it as a Maasa. Kasher Zaman La'aso. I didn't do anything. So we view it, therefore, this is the whole Chiddush of Edom Zonanim, that it is viewed as if you set out to actually do this damage with your hands, and therefore, because that's its definition in the Torah, I list it. So Hatam Afagav Delet Be Maaseh, Rachmana Karye Maaseh, the Torah insists that we need to view it as an act. Dechtiva Siten Lo Kasher Zaman La'asot La'achiv. I mean, if we would take that to mean literally, so then Ve'asitim Lo would mean, I'm going to say you're a bad boy. You are a liar. Because that's all I did to the other guy. So it's clearly what we're viewing is the act as if it's done. So I wanted to cause you a $100,000 loss. We're going to cause you a $100,000 loss. Now we're going to sit there and say sticks and stones can break my bones, but names can never hurt me. Uh-huh. So Vishleima Latana Didan. Okay. So now we understand we have three later sets. A total, perhaps, of at least, Tosis points out there are other things that the Gemara could have said that we could have included for other reasons. So that means we have three maida sets out of a total of Nezikin that what we're aware of right now equals 26 different varieties. We're going to find more varieties, and we'll talk about that as we go through the Masechta. But in any event, what we're left over here is the question of Vishleima, the Tana Didan. The question, of course, is why do we call these things Avot? And see, the way we originally defined the set of Avot, the reason we called them Avot was because of the relationship of Avot to Toldot. Wait a minute. Hold on. Abba, you can't multitask time? Can't you be in two places at once, two times at once? Whoa. So according to our Tana, so over there, the nature of the Avot is Tana Avot, Michlav Deika Toledot. I mean, that was our whole understanding. But I don't get it. Rabchien Reboshaya, are they using Avot in the same way? Are they saying, these are Avot, and therefore there are Toledot? I mean, I challenge you to bring me a Tolda of a Midamea. I mean, what would be the Toledot? Toledotei Amayinu. Amar Rabbi Abu, no. The truth is that in the two larger sets, we're not using a vote in that sense, clearly. We're using a vote in the sense of what would the Torah view this as Chayev. That's what we mean. So they're all like a vote in the sense that these things are also included in the din of Tashlumei Meitav, of your own personal responsibility, and not only that, but the responsibility to pay, if you are using real estate, only from the absolute best of the real estate available, so that it can be rapidly translated into money, and not that you have to wait to sell the property to get its full value out of that. And how indeed do we know that that's the case? So then my time, well, where do we know that from? We know it because Atya Tachat Nitina Yishalem Kesev. Now, this is a four-staged limud. The first thing we have to know is that in all of the cases of the Arba Avot Nezikin, we learn out the word Yishalem. The word Yishalem appears by Shein V'Regel as Meitav Sadeu U'Meitav Karmo Yishalem, which means that by definition, wherever it uses the word Yishalem, we now learn out that that means Meitav. Many of the 24 cases actually have the word Yishalem. Obviously, if we're talking about payment, it would not surprise him to find the word Yishalem. But there's also cases where it uses the word Tachat. Ayin Tachat Ayin, Chain Tachat Chain, or Tachat Asher. So all of those Tachats are also things that we learn out from the Arba Avot, where we also have Shor Tachat Ashor. And that means that wherever it will say Tachat, it will also now relate to the same type of Tashlumi that we found by Shor, which is Mimetav Sadeo. We also find the Lashon of Nitina, like Yitain La'adonav. We also find the nature of the idea, which has kesef, kesef yashiv leba'alav. Again, there's many examples of each one of these, but the Sifri goes through all of the different limudim. It turns out not a single one of these 24, other than, of course, the Derabbanan, which the Derabbanan made the equivalent of the other mazikin, where it does not say beferish that word, either netina, tachat, yeshalem, or kesef. Okay, now let's get to the Mishnah itself. Getting back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, lo hare. Lo hare, hashor kare hamav'eh. Now, the truth is the Gemara is very confused about this for a very simple reason, as Tosus explains. The norm of the format that we use everywhere else except this Mishnah, is X is not similar to Y, and Y is not similar to X. But the common denominator of them leads us to Z. Over here in the Mishnah, we're using what sounds like the same form. X is not similar to Y, and Y is not similar to X, and X and Y are not similar to Z, which, what? That's completely different than we usually do. Therefore, the Gemara is questioning, what's exactly my karma? What is he trying to say this time? It's very confusing. Had the Torah written one, and I'm sure you're bothered, why don't we use one? And let's read the rest, learn them, derive them out of that one. So what he's trying to say is, given, let's say, Karen, I wouldn't know shame. Again, depending how we learn the meaning of Mava, the meaning of Shor. Or given Shor, I wouldn't know Adam. And then you say, Lo zev ezeh sheyesh bem ruach hayim. Now, what's that supposed to mean? Usually that means the common denominator teaches something. No, no, here it means, Omre mishashim shmei d'ravachi kama, lichtav rachmana tarte. Why don't you write two out of the four, and I could derive all four from them. Therefore, the Mishnah concludes, Hadar ama, chadami tarte lo ate. We cannot really derive any one out of the two. Omar Rava says Rava, but this, the truth is the Mishnah is a lie. The Mishnah is presenting things in a very specific way. And it's only because of the order that the Mishnah goes that it actually makes sense to say, given X, I don't know Y, given Y, I don't know X, and given Y and X, I still don't know Z. But if I can actually put in any value into the X and the Y, then I will show you that I will know every Z. Ha! All I need to do is plug one value into X, and that's bor. Because if I plug bor into X, then no matter what I plug into Y, I equal Z. Why is that? It's very obvious why that is. Because bor has nothing of what any of the other has. There's no kavana. There's no derech to go anywhere. It just sits there, and so on. So it doesn't have any of the values. It's not the derech for it to go around. It doesn't have a kohakakam, urevo, and so on and so forth. The only lack that bor has is exactly the fact that it's very chamur, because it's chiyotas yasun anezik. Its entire existence is as a mazik. Okay, so I can't derive anything from it, but plug anything else into Y, and that disproves that. So if I know bor, and I give anything else in Y, I already know Z. So that means that the Tana is really fooling us. Because he sets up the Mishnah in such a way that it sounds as if it's true that we can't learn out any of the mazikim from any of the two other mazikim, and that's not true.
Different than anywhere else in the
Torah. Now, without a voice, it's really hard. See, people mistake your power of voice with the depth of your heart, which unfortunately, as the rabbinate teaches us, is certainly not true. But I'm trying. So help me. Such an exciting Gemara, my gosh.
It's the concept of the word, because otherwise it's more.
That's true. Okay, so let's see that inside. Omar Rava says, Rava, the truth is, take any of them and stick bor with any of the above, okay? So in other words, take any Y and make bor your X. So kulu kishadita bor binayu, atya kulu b'ma'atzad. You'd be able to learn all of the others out with the common denominator of bor and anything. And this is obvious, because whatever you would say, bor would disprove it. You'd say, well, Karen, I mean, you'd say, let's take shame, we'll see about that. Well, we take Karen to learn. You'll say, it's kavanas lahazik. Bor doesn't have kavan at all. You'll say, it's yeshana lahazikah. Nope, bor doesn't have anah lahazikah. You'll say that it's balichayim. Bor is not balichayim. You'll say, but it's koyachach amurabo. Bor is not koyachach amurabo. Whatever you say, I'm going to be able to use bor to prove that it isn't. Except that then you'll come back and say, well, yes, of course, but a bor is by definition something that causes damage. Well, what else is it? True, but mashar isn't. Adam isn't, it's on and so forth. So if I can learn anything out of those two, okay? The only thing that I can't learn out is Karen. Why? Because I would be able to say, Mishum Dikala Mifrach, Malakulhu, the common denominator of any of the two, is that they are Muadim Mitchilatan. Now, obviously, Stosic points out, that doesn't mean that they're mu'ad in terms of paying nezek shalom, because I don't know that. I'm trying to derive the din of Karen. I can't derive on my own the din of the difference between tam and mu'ad. That would be idiotic. But what I can do, I can say, a Karen, the whole point of a Karen tam, is that it's not darka lahazik. That's the whole idea. It's something that may happen, but it's rare. You certainly don't say that a bull is always going bananas and kicking everything in sight, which is not the case of any other thing, you see. So I cannot derive, because any X and Y, that includes both, any X and Y, I'll say the common denominator is that it's a thing that damages, and Dark Ola Isaac. But Karen is not Dark Ola Isaac, so therefore we can't learn out Karen. So Mamela, we'd be stuck on Karen. That's the only thing. That over there, Shekin Wadin Echilatan. So wait, says the Gemara, but what about according to the Mandi Omar, who holds that that's irrelevant? And that Adaraba, Karen Adifa, Shekavanato Lahazik. Karen is more of a reason to be Machayev, despite the fact that it is not its derech to be Mazik. It more than makes up for that by its determination to be Mazik when it is being Mazik. Says Rashi, I don't know who this guy is, but I never saw him before. Says the Gro, well, you might have met him on the previous night. Cryptic argument. Where did we meet him on the previous Nav? It's a classic Gro. You know, Rashi says, I don't know who he is. Says Gro, we just mentioned him on the previous Nav. Who would that be? Well, we did learn out on the previous Nav, where we were trying to make now our Kal V'chomer, and we said, the V'lav Kal V'chomer, Mark Shein, Shein Kavanat Ola Hazik, Chayav, Karen Shein Kavanat Ola Hazik, Lo Kosh, they didn't say a word about the fact that, but it's not Dark Ola Hazik, it's only Kavanat Ola Hazik. What happened to that? How come we didn't bother about that? Tosus has another explanation, and he says as follows. Later on, we're going to see that there's a big machloket about how we view the din of Karen Lagabe Shmira. And that's the question. Do we view the halacha of Chatzi Nezek as a fine to put you into shape to take better care than you normally would have had to take? Or do we view Chatzi Nezek as a reduction in the payment that you should have owed? Because of the fact that we have to let you off a little bit, because we understand that, look, you know, you probably said, this shah hasn't hurt anybody.
It's not the tender.
Yeah, exactly. Now that, machlokas hastosis, boils down to the question of how I look at Karen. Do I look at Karen's kavanat al-hazik, and it definitely is a mazik, and if the Torah says only chatzin hazik, it's letting you off, or do I say that since it's not dark al-hazik, I shouldn't have to pay anything, and they're brilliant. So it turns out that there is such a mandiyomar. Okay, in any event, so according to that mandiyomar, afilu Karen nami atim. We would know Karen. And therefore, the Mishnah was actually fooling around with our brains. Because it wasn't really true. So, I mean, if that's the case, why indeed do we need to know all 24 categories if we would be able to define them ourselves? So, l'may yokot ha-katvinu rakmana. Then why did the Torah go out of its way to create these where we could figure it out ourselves, given enough information? l'yokot ha-hem. You see, every one of these categories has unique rules associated with it. So let's say, we would have derived Karen, we wouldn't have known the difference between Tam and Mu'ed. According to Tosis, by definition, we wouldn't have known the difference. So, I need to know Karen to know the difference between a Tam and Mu'ed. L'chalak being Tam and a Mu'adot. I have to know Shein V'Regel, because the din of Shein V'Regel is that if the damage is caused in public property, I am not responsible. Because anybody who enters public property takes into consideration the need to protect themselves from other people's rights to public property. But now, how would I know that myself if I had derived Shein V'Regel from something that is chayav in public property? Like maybe Karen and Bor. Huh? I wouldn't have known that. Okay, so I need to know that. How about Bor? Well, Bor has this wild halacha, which is you are potter on things that break in a Bor. Because the things that break in a Bor couldn't have gotten to the Bor. And therefore, you're only responsible on self-motivated items that fall into a Bor. Huh. So in other words, if a shor falls into a Bor, I'm going to have to pay. But if now a gingerbread cookie who's running away from somebody falls into the bar, and I don't have to pay for the gingerbread cookie. Okay? So that's a very special halacha, liftobos ha-kelim. And what about according to Rabbi Yehuda? Rabbi Yehuda's mechayev on this ke-kelim b'bor? Well, that's the potter and adam. A human who falls into a bar, you're potter on, because he's supposed to look out for himself as to where he's going. We'll see what you're potter on a human. How about adam? Well, adam, obviously, how would I be able to derive tsar, shebes, ripui, boshet out of the mazikin? I wouldn't. So I would need to know adam, l'chayv, obiar, ba'advarim. Okay, h. H also has a unique category. H then is liftobota tamun. Surprisingly, anything which is unexposed, I don't have to pay for with h. So if it turns out that this is a tunnel that's filled with explosives, and I happen to just attack the top of the tunnel, and I have these secondary explosions all over the place, I'm not responsible for that, because that was hidden inside of the tunnel. So I'm potter on tamun. And about, according to Rabbi Yehuda, who is chayav on this gate tamun ve'esh, why did the Torah have to write all the dinim of esh? I understand that fire would be a din in combustibles, right? So that's because that's its derech, to be mazik combustibles. How about if fire damages a non-combustible? How would it do that? There are combustibles around. So there was a fire on the grass or the hay that was on your field, but it turned out that the heat damaged the actual top of the field, and now you needed to plow it over and get new topsoil. That's damage. But that's potter. That's chayav on esh, even though it's not roilo. I would have said, well, with the other mazikim are roilo. So in that case, or where a stone, something that normally is not, obviously not burnable, but nonetheless, it scorches the stone. So now I'm going to have to bring something else instead. I'm going to have these scorched stones on my field. So over there, enochinami, I need the pasuk to tell me that there's a chiyav even of those things. So it turns out that the Mishnah, which presents things as it did, was doing what Mishnayos often do, which is called lahagdil Torah v'lahadira. In other words, we like to show you the way in which these things interrelate, and we want you to think about them. The more aware you are of the details and the interrelationship, the deeper is going to be your penetration into these issues. We don't have to present it the way it really is. In other words, is it what I wrote is true? So I leave it to you to come back at me and say, how come you don't substitute bor for one of your exes? Excellent point, my boy. Excellent point. You would never even have thought of it if I hadn't got you thinking about X, Y, and Z. Okay, so that's called lahagdil Torah v'lahadir. I am interested in stimulating and in giving deeper insights and providing all of the details of a sugya rather than letting it just be cold and a simple list. That's not what learning is all about.
So as far as derivations, it's not...
Tony Rebbe Chia, Esrim v'arba avot nezikin, tashlumi keva, tashlumi arba v'chamisha, ganav, gazlan, edim, zomimim, ones, befata, motzi shemra, metamim, medamea, menasech, plus an additional tleisar, together esrim v'arba, v'rebo shaya maitai melo tani ani, because he's talking about momona kamare, beknasolo kamare, well, how about ganav v'gazlan? That's momona, litne, hakatanim le, shomer chinam, and show we mention agav, Rebbe Chia nami, yes, tani mamona da tuliyada be'atera, uka tani mamona da tuliyada be'isura, edim zel mamim de mamona ulitne sevelak Rabbi Akiv, yomar im misham na piyatsma. Therefore, it's not mamon. Is sevelak Rabbi Akiva, litne tre gav neshor, litne shor de azik shor, litne shor de azik adam, litzan Rabbi Akiva omer, aftam shechaval ba'adam, mishalei b'motar nezik shalei. Well, atavi Rabbi Akiva l'gzize. The Tanya Rabbi Akiva Omer Yochel Aftam Shechaval Be'adam Yishalim in Aliyah Tamil Omer Yaseh Lo Migufa Mishalim in Mishalim in Aliyah Ones V'mefatim O'tishemrez Mumona Leitne. Well, I did. Manav Shalch. I mean, Inezek Tanale Yitzar Tanale. Sorry, Boshet Tanale Yipagam Ainu Nezek. Might lach lemeim ha'knas. Okay, I said already. Because lo kamayri, hambetami medamea menasech. All of that's momon. At least they manushaf. He has a chenenik shmei ezek. I already said nezek. He has a chenenik and laf shmei ezek. So then it boils down to being a knas. Because lo kamayri, leimakasaver b'tia ezek chenenik and laf shmei ezek gishmei ezek katanalei nezek. No, I already explained that tana ezek in a min kara, but tana ezek in a lo min kara. That I take categories as being very significant. So be shalom with the Tana Didan, Tana Minyana Mutter Rebbe Shaya, the Rebbe Shaya Tana Minyana Mutter Rebbe Chia. But according to Rebbe Chia, he's giving us a complete list. So what's the point of saying how many there are? Minyana de Rebbe Chia, Lemute Mai, Lemute Mosero Mefagel, Velitne. So be shalom with Mefagel, I can say, Bekotchim Lo Kamari. But Moser, Moser my time alotani. Well, Shani Moser, but Dibura, Dibura Lo Kamari. What about Motzi Shemrez, Dibura? The katani, but that's a dibura di be maaseu. Well, what about edim zomimim? Is a dibura di let be maaseu? The katani, hatamafagav the let be maaseu, rachmona kari maaseu. Dichtiv asitem lo, kasher zamam la asot lachiv. So, bishlam latani di dantana avot. And that, by definition, meant the ikatoldot. But according to Rabbi Chiya and Rabbi Shaya, what's this avot? I mean, avot michlal di ikatoldot? Give me toldot. Toldot, I remind you. Rabbi Avu, kulam ke'avot shalei mimeta. My time at your pachat, nitina, yishalem kesef. Lo hare ashor kare ma'af, and my ka'amar. Amr Zvid, Mishmei de Rav Achikamar, Licht of Rachman Achad of a Taitin El Gminei, Hodor Amr Achad of Rachad Elo Adya, Velos Ev Ezez Yesh Ben Ruach Tiyim Mai Kamar, Amr Vashar Shem Mishmei de Rav Achikamar, Licht of Rachman Atarti of a Taitin El Gminei, Hodor Amr Achad of Mitarti Elo Adya. Amr Ava, the truth is that Kuluk Yishadit of Vor Binei, Adya Kulu B'mahat Tzad Levad Mikaren, Mishom Dik Lamed Frachmalek Kulu, Shken Muadim Mitchilatan. We see you tippy-toeing out of there. Karen, lechalik mitam lamuad, shein v'regla patu b'shut rabbi, bor liftor bo ata kelim, l'rab yudet mechayev aniske kelim, bor liftor bo ata adam, adam lechayev bo ba'arba advarim, eish liftor ata tamun, l'rab yudet mechayev aniske tamun ba'esh, latu yimai, latu yilif ganiro, v'sich sicha avan.